You from the Greek language. The first four verses we're going to read from the Amplified Bible because we've already come up to there so far. But I want to go back and look at some of these words and some of the things in here that maybe I didn't cover before. Matthew 2 and verse 1, and now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And remember Solomon, one of his ancestors through Joseph, founded Bethlehem during the times, and that's the one that married Rahab the harlot. Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now Herod ruled from about 37 B.C. He was called Herod the Great. He was appointed by Antony and Cleopatra to be king over this. He was what some people might call nominally. He was related to some Jewish people, but he was actually a descendant. He was Idumean or a descendant of Esau, which was not the promised son. It was Jacob. The promise came through Jacob, not through Esau. And behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking. Now these wise men are magi. The magi, we get our word magistrates from that, but they were prophets. They were they studied astrology. They were students of Zoroaster, which was a student of Daniel. And they knew the very year and the very time that Jesus was going to be born. And they had come to worship the king of Israel because they had read all of the prophecies of the Old Testament that talked about the great Adonai HaOdonim, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Jehovah in flesh that would walk upon the earth. And they came here, and of course they go to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel. Now Israel was under the auspices of the Roman Empire at this time. And until Jesus was born, they actually had the ability and the right to execute prisoners. But after Jesus was born, they did not allow them to execute anybody. They had to go through the Roman government. Because one of the things in Jacob's prophecy was that the scepter will not depart from Judah's knees until Shiloh come, until the Lord is born. And Jesus was born probably around 7 B.C., even though we call it before Christ. He was actually, at the calendar that we know today, he was born about 7 B.C. I hope this is helping you as we study this. And he who has been born King of the Jews, for we have seen his star. We have seen his star. And we have come, and his star in the east as it's rising, and have come to worship him. Zechariah 9 and 9, and Jeremiah 23, 5, and Numbers 24, 17. And also, chapter 39 of the book of Genesis. Now, what happens? Herod the king heard this. He was disturbed and troubled. He was struck out of his senses, and the whole of Jerusalem with him. All of the Jerusalem, all of these people in Jerusalem were imposters. Herod had imported people. He had killed many of the real priests, and some of them had fled down to the caves of the Qumran, the Essenes and the Qumranians. Now, let me tell you a little bit about that also while we're here. The Qumran caves were occupied probably as far back as 1000 B.C. And some of the writings that they had back then were by some of these ancient Hebrews that had stayed here even during the Babylonian captivity. And then when Herod took power, he killed many of the high priests and installed his own. And killed off the Sanhedrin court and installed his own court. And Herod the king was disturbed and troubled in all of Jerusalem because these were imposters. These were toads sitting upon the throne and the rulership of Israel that had no right. So he called together all the chief priests and learned men and scribes of the people, and anxiously asked them, and wordly he asked him where the Christ was to be born. He knew what was going on. He'd heard the prophecies. Where's he going to be born? Now, what about these people, these scribes and priests? Now, we have the Babylonian Talmud. Later on, we have the Jerusalem Talmud. We have the Mishnah. We have the Gemara. We have the Halachah. We have the Haggadah. And we have the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is beginning. It's mystifying the scriptures. And these are all called reasonings. The interpretation of the law. And the interpretation of the law had become more weighty than the law itself. Their 700 and something laws were more precisely followed than the Word of God itself. And it said they kept on in being, he kept on interrogating and worrying about where this Messiah is going to be born, the Christ, the HaMashiach, because he knows he's an impostor. And they replied to him in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet. Now let's go on to the next one. Bethlehem of Judea. Now let's read verse number 6. And we'll go on from there. We've got a little background of what's going on here. Kai si Bethlehem gay uda udemos elakiste that is a n tois hegamosin uda ek si gar ex el lucete hegumenos. Hostis poimene ton laon mu ton Israel. And you, Bethlehem, land. The word land there is gay. And the word hagios means not of earth. The word land means earth. Bethlehem, the land of Bethlehem of Judea, not at all the least. You are among the, what we call the governors of Judea, governing ones of Judea. Out of you, he shall come forth for himself. That's the middle voice there. Hagumenos, one who leads the people. One who leads the people. The fulfillment of this as the mighty warrior is in Revelation, the 19th chapter. Where Jesus comes upon that great white horse with a double-edged sword in his mouth. In other words, that he shall speak and he shall slay with his mouth. And he shall bring the Lord or the people under control. And that's at the end of this tribulation period. The first coming of Jesus Christ is here, where he's coming to die. He is the lowly shepherd. He is the rejected prophet, the rejected Son of God, Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. And he shall shepherd the people, the laos. Actually, here it's ton laon in accusative singular masculine. Belonging to me. And then he says, ton Israel. My people Israel. When God refers to the Jews as Israel, it means my covenant people. The people that belong to me. Jacob. These were the sons of Jacob. But Jacob, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, man who wrestles with God and overcomes. He will not turn the Lord himself loose until he blessed him. 2 and verse 7. Tote Herodes Lathara Kalesas Tus Magus A grebason, bebosin, par auton, ton, chronon, to phenomeno asteros. And then Herod secretly, having called the ones magi, secretly he called the magi. And having thoroughly and carefully interrogated them, that's the word there, akribu, secretly interrogated them, secretly, whispering, so no one would hear. He interrogated them, and from them the time of the shining, phenomenu, the shining, when the shining of the star. When did this star start shining? Now, it took them a while to get there, from all the way from Babylon. And they didn't move in a Rolls Royce or Mercedes-Benz back there, or big buses, Mercedes-Benz buses or whatever, nor airplanes. They were going by camel and donkey, mule and ox, maybe even elephants. That was their heavy cargo carriers. 2 and verse 8, Chi, Pempsos, Altus, Ace, Bethlehem, Epen, Poru, Thentes, Exe, Tasate, Acribus, Peri, Ton, Tu, Paidiu, Epon, De, Urete, Epon, Galete, Moe, Hopos, Cago, Elthon, Proskineso. Now, Herod's lying. He's real good at lying, because that's basically all he does. And having sent them unto Bethlehem. Bethlehem means what again? House of bread. And he said, having gone, they sought out carefully. Akribos. The word English word acrobat comes from this. This means to do something carefully. Those acrobats on rings and things and flipping flips in the air and all of that, they do it accurately and carefully. It looks like they're just out there flopping around, but they're not. They have practiced this for years. For years. I remember a long time ago, that actor did that movie, Trapeze. He had been an acrobat in his young life, and he actually was good at that. Carefully, diligently, concerning the child, when you shall find him, you report back to me. You bring a message back. You message back to me. So that I also, having come, I shall be worshiping him. I shall bend the knee toward him. Herod was lying. He did not want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. Just like Pharaoh wanted to kill those Hebrew children back there and when Moses was born. Hoi de akasantes tu basileus uporethason kai edu ho aster hon edon en te antele poiegen autus ios elthon Astathe, epano, hu, ein, to, paideon. And the ones having heard the king, they went away. The having heard from the king, that's oblative singular masculine there, that's two basileus. They went away. And behold, the star, the aster, we get a word asteroid from that word aster there, which they saw in the east, it kept on going before them, it kept on leading them until, having come, it stood over where it kept on being the child. Verse number 10, Edontes de ton astera, ekareson, karon megalane, aphodra. And having seen the star, they rejoiced in great, in joy, in grace, in wonder, great, exceedingly. They rejoiced exceedingly. They had been following that star for probably at least a year, or nearly that much, maybe even a little longer. 2 and verse 11, Kai elthontes eis, tain oikion. Adon to paideon met Marias tes matros auto kai pesontes pros eukeneson. Auto kai oinexontes tus thesaurus auton pros eukekeon. Auto dura kreson kai libanon. Kai Smyrnon. And having opened up the treasures, the Theosaurus, the treasures of them. Now, there are three treasures, there are three kingly gifts that Jesus gives. One of them is gold. That's what we call a present worthy of a king. And the gold and the frankincense. That frankincense there is some very costly perfumes, so to speak. And opium. Now, opium. What about this opium? Well, when Jacob was trying to appease Joseph down in Egypt. They didn't know who he was at that time, but they sent him gifts of opium. Opium was a rich man's medicine. People have had stomach disorders and coughing disorders and lung disorders for a long time, thousands of years. Now, maybe some of you out there watched the movie Tombstone. And we see Doc Holliday there. He's drinking alcohol and taking laudanum or opium. Now, they say that he was a drunk. Well, in biblical days and pre-biblical days and way back as far as we can go, opium was administered in alcohol, like wine or whatever, strong drink. It went into the bloodstream better. Now, what is opium good for, this rich man's medicine? Opium is good for bowel disorders, dysentery. It's good for Crohn's disease, which they had problems with. Ulcerated colitis, diverticulitis. All of these different maladies, it's good for that. They still use it today. And it's administered with alcohol. And it's good for tuberculosis. And all types of flus and coughing disorders. You have codeine. Codeine in cough medicine, and codeine is an opiate. Well, they gave him three great gifts. Now, how many magi, how many kings were there? How many rulers were there? There could have been 300. But these kings together, I'm not saying there were 300, they could have been 30, they could have been 20, they could have been 10. We do not know. What we do know is they brought three gifts. That we know. They brought gold, frankincense, and opium. They burned frankincense in palaces. That was an expensive kind of smudge. They have candles today in houses, scented candles. That's what it was like. And, of course, the opium is medicine. Kai krematisentes kot onar me ana kapsa pros herodane de ales idu ana koreson es tain koron auton. And having been warned, that word krematizo, it's first aorist, participle passing, having been warned, nominee plural masculine, by a dream, an anar, or a hypnose. In a hypnotic dream, God warned them not to return toward Herod through another road. They departed unto the country, back unto the country of them, the country belonging to them, the Quran belonging to them. Now, verse number 13. We see another angel appearing to Joseph from 13 through 15. Anakoresanton de auton edu angelos kriu phonete kath aner tu Yosef legon egerdes paralabe to padion kai tain matera autu kai fige ace Egypton. Now, Egypton there, the word in Hebrew is Mitzrayim. It means Egypt. We got a word Egypt out of the Greek language, Egypton. Kai isti eke hios an epo se mele gar herodes zetain to paideon tu apulese auto. That's a long verse. There is a lot of verses in the Gospel of Matthew. Moreover, having, or furthermore, leaning on with that little weak adversative conjunctive particle there, day, having, leading on and continuing, therefore, having departed them, you behold an angel of the Lord, an angel belonging to the Lord. He appears for himself by dream to Joseph. Now this angel appears to Joseph in a hypnotic trance, saying, having risen, you take the child. After you get up in the morning, you take the child and the mother of him, and you flee unto Egypt. Now, Marilyn, what was Joseph's occupation? Really. Not what legend says, but what really kind of occupation did he have? What did he do for a living? Joseph. Yes. You remember?
A sheep-earner?
Nope. Joseph was a stonemason. Do you think they might need stonemasons down there in Egypt? They were building pyramids right and left, weren't they? And,
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
There was?
Yes. They needed stonemasons down there. And he went down there and he went to work as a stonemason. And by the way, the word technos there, the word technician means, where we get the word technician from, is it's used for the same thing as carpenter. But by the way, they didn't build houses out of wood. They built houses out of stone.
Yeah.
But they built houses out of stone, not wood. So Jesus wasn't a carpenter, and Joseph wasn't a carpenter out there driving nails. The only thing they built out of wood was plows and ox yoke for oxen and things like that, and maybe some furniture. Unto Egypton, and you be there. Second person singular present imperative active from Amy. You be there, okay, that little adverb there. Until, if. Now, eis, or eos, on there is actually a little, what we call an idiom. Both of those words means until. Apo, I may say or tell to you, he is about for Herod to seek the child. You stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to seek the death of the child. The child to destroy him. Joseph or Herod is not going to worship that child. He's going to slay that child. And now here we have another prophecy fulfilled. Ho de egerthes para laban to paideon kai tain matera auto nictos kai anako raisin ace egypton. And the one having risen, that's Joseph, he took the child and the mother of him by night, and he departed unto Egypt. He departed unto Egypt. Now we know that Jesus had already been circumcised. We know that Jesus had already been named in the temple. All of this had taken place before this. And now they're going to go to Egypt. 2:15. Kai ein eke hios tes, teletes herotu hina plerothe to rathen hippo kuriu dia tu prophetu legontes ex Egypto ekalesa ton huion mu. And he kept on being there until the death of Herod, which was what? About 4 B.C. And then Jesus came back home. Now, Jesus was probably 3 or 4 years old at this time when he returned unto Nazareth. That's where Joseph, his stepfather, was probably a stonemason there. The death of Herod, in order that it might be fulfilled, the thing having been written by the influence of the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called the son of me. And that's Hosea 11:1 and even Exodus 4:22. Hosea 11:1 and Exodus 4:22. Verse number 16 now. Then we'll go back and read these verses from the Amplified, from about verse 6 on. Tote Herodes, Edom. Hote epe paxte, hippo tain magon. Euthe math mothe, leon kai apestalos, analane pontas tus, paidas tus en Bethlehem. Kai en posse tois orios autes apo detrus kai kata tero kata ton chronon hon ikri bosin para ton magon. Long verses. Then Herod, having seen that he was mocked, he was tricked. That word, impiezo. He was tricked by the Magi. He became inflamed like a thermos. That word thermos here, themos. Themo. That means to be heated up. This word here, is we get a word thermos from it. Marilyn, have you ever used a pressure cooker? Yes. Yeah. It heats up things under pressure. Mm-hmm. And it'll cook things quicker than you can if it's just with the ambient pressure around it. But you put pressure in it. Now, cooking with a pressure cooker, is it kind of dangerous sometimes?
Yes.
Very much. You got to watch it. Make sure it doesn't get plugged up. Now, I used to be neighbors to Emmett Ragsdale and Bondi Ragsdale. Emmett owned Ragsdale's riding cabinet, and I was a hostler or a wrangler for him. I saddled 30 and 40 of those horses a day and brushed them down. And I rode the ones that were getting a little bit hard to ride and would buck them out and get them back in line again. Well, Emmett, his wife would help him out there. She'd do a lot of the saddling and everything. She did as much work as him, at least as much, if not more. They had to feed those horses ever. They had to water them. They had to doctor them and saddle them. I wasn't always there because I was sometimes in Fish Lake Valley and sometimes in school or whatever. But she would, because she didn't have as much time to cook, she would cook chickens and beef and things in a pressure cooker. She was cooking chicken one day and some pretty old fat chickens, and that some of that chicken fat got caught into that kind of a blowout tube up on top of the pressure cooker. She was out there and under the old barn saddling horses when she heard an explosion. And she went in her kitchen, and that pot had blown the lid plumb off of it, and the chicken was in the attic. It went through the roof, through the ceiling, into the attic. Well, this is the kind of word right here that's describing old Herod. He was under pressure, and he was mad. Mad. Exceedingly, Leon. And having sent, he killed all the ones, male children, the ones in Bethlehem. He had to kill them all. He's going to kill them all. Going to get the right one. I mean, he's going to kill a whole lot of innocent ones. And they probably killed between 50 and 75 babies. Now, that might not sound like a whole lot. It sounds like he killed 1,000. But he probably killed between 50 and 75 babies from 2 years down. And in all the districts, the Horioes, of her from 2 years and down under, within the 2 years, according to the time which he had thoroughly interrogated from the Magi. So they saw his star 2 years before. And from 2 years down, he killed all these babies. Now, he was a ruthless man. He was a killer. He was a murderer. And that's according to Herod's personality. That's what he was. When a murderer kills somebody, it's just their nature to do it, isn't it? They like to murder people. And Herod murdered a lot of people. 217, tote eple rothe to rathen dia erimu tu prophetu legontes. And according to Jeremiah 31 and verse 15, it was fulfilled. Then it was fulfilled, the thing having been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, saying. Our last verse in this lesson, verse number 18. Phone en rama, ekuste, clothmos, kai, odirmos, polis, Rachel, Kla also. Ta tekna autes, kai uk elthelen, paraklethene, hote uk asen. A voice. Yenda Rama. From the Hebrew, the height of Benjamin. Rama. Five miles north of Jerusalem. That's where Rachel's tomb is, by the way. It was heard weeping, and the mourning much. Rachel weeping for the children of her. And not she kept on being wishing to be comforted, because not they are. They're gone. Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Our Father, we send this message out to you. All of the things that I've read, Father, are really true. They all happened. Just like you said. Herod reigned. He built a lot of great things, and he killed a lot of people. He was a merciless man. And Father, we've seen many, many people down through the ages like that. Those leaders of Israel were merciless when they crucified our Savior. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our people. And it was. Father, I pray for all of my students out there all over the world. Australia, Wales, India, Africa, Ethiopia, Japan, Australia, the Philippines. Father, I don't even know where all of them are. I get new emails all the time of people out there that are studying your word. All over the United States, from New York to California, and everything in between Alaska and South America. Father, I pray that you bless all of those, my children, that you've given me. Those that love me and that I love them. Sometimes we're really disappointed, Father, and I have been, and my children and grandchildren at times. But you multiplied my children many times, overfold. Touch their lives and their hearts with your word, I pray. Touch each and every one of them. Alabama, Tennessee. Father, we cover all states, as you know, every month with your word. Bless your word, please, as it goes out. Forgive me where I failed you. It takes the love of God to love me, I know, Father. By grace. It takes your love to love all of us. Father, help us to glorify you with our lives in every way we can. I thank you that you've given me this year to preach. You know my health is not good, but you keep me alive in spite of it. This is 364 messages this year, and it's not over with yet. Father, please bless them. And bless my children out there. For your honor, for your glory.